Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I am Brian Hefty, live in the Morton studio. Today we're going to do a little 2018 year in review. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to call into the show at any point, our phone lines will be open all day today. 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You can email us, radio@agphd.com, or you can find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, or Brian Hefty. So my brother Darren's been traveling here for the last few days. He should be back later this week. He went down to New Zealand to see those high-yield wheat and barley farmers that were at our Ag PhD field day last year. He took our research lead, Glenn Hers, along with him. So I'm really anxious to talk to Darren when he gets back and see what he learned. It's always fun talking to high-yield farmers all over just to see what's working for them and also what's not. So here in the last few days, I've been talking to a lot of farmers. Everybody's kind of getting ready for year end. A lot of people are going to prepay before the first, even more after the first from the way it sounds. I know, like for me today, it's a busy day. I'm working on year end bookwork too. I got to do a little prepay yet before the end of the day myself. You know, It's one of these things every year we're trying to figure out how do we do better, and we talk about it all the time. You want to make sure that you're not making cuts to things that make money. So this year, for example, just maybe an hour ago, I was talking to a farmer, and he goes, "So what did you learn in 2018? I mean, what worked for you guys and what didn't work?" And I said, "Well, the number one thing that I've talked to guys about here in the last probably 2-3 months that did work, at least in our region here, was foliar fungicide, whether it was corn or soybeans. The payoff was really, really big. We had a bunch on our farm where it was 30 to 40 bushels on corn. You know, on soybeans, I didn't, with corn, we left a bunch of untreated areas. On soybeans, we didn't do that just because it's paid so well on soybeans. I'm to the point where I'm not leaving check strips anymore. But I do know we had a lot of white mold in our area, and we did spray for white mold a couple of times. That had to have been beneficial. We only had a couple of fields that I wasn't happy with how we did on the white mold, and that was mainly because of the variety. It was one of the worst varieties for white mold, which I have no idea why we planted that on those couple of fields, but we did. And anyway, I mean, the yields are still in the 50s, so it's not like it was a disaster, but I want yields that are 70-plus. You know, it's tough anymore to make money just at 50 bushel beans. So anyway, fungicide did pay pretty well. One thing, too, I would tell you on the white mold, we've got more options than we've ever had before. If you look at the new Miravis products out of Syngenta, there's some promise there. Even Trivapro from Syngenta has had a little bit of activity, but we still have the great Endura product. We've got Proline. And then now that both Topsin and Domark are off patent, the name brand pricing has come down, and there's the generic option too. But what I've told a lot of guys is, man, you run a combination of Topsin and Domark. You got two different modes of action that are pretty decent on white mold. And yes, neither one of them individually is going to be as good as Proline, and definitely not as good as Endura. But you put the two of them together, and it's not bad, and you've got roughly one-third the cost of what Endura is. So, you know, if let's say you ran Endura the first time, and then you do this combination of Domark Topsin the second time, you got a pretty good overall program there for white mold, and you've now used three different modes of action. Endura is one, Domark and Topsin are two different ones. So rotating the modes of action, using products that are, you know, fairly effective, that's really a pretty good program. But I mean, the white mold thing here the last couple of years in soybeans has been a really, really big deal. The other thing I would say in 2018 is, and I almost hate to bring this up, but dicamba, just people learning better how to spray that. And I would say the number one thing that I'm now talking to people about after seeing this on big time acres for a couple of years is if you've got sensitive crop around you. Now, if you don't, just follow the label and everything should be fine. But if you have sensitive crop around you, obviously you got to follow the label. That's absolutely true. But in addition to that, what I would suggest you do is make sure that the wind is blowing out of the same direction for roughly 48 hours after you spray and away from the sensitive crop, obviously, because what happens is we're still getting a little bit of volatility in some cases. And when you have that, yes, there isn't going to be a lot that moves, but even a little that moves over to soybeans can give you some leaf cupping. And we just don't want to see that. What we're excited about going into the future here, in 2019 already, we're going to see some stacks, probably just in seed production, but we are going to see some dicamba, or extend, I should say, stacked together with Liberty. We're also very hopeful that in 2019 we'll get our trade issues worked out with China, so then Enlist finally gets approved by the Chinese government, and then we can go ahead and start using that here in the United States. So right now, Enlist, the chemistry, the seed, the traits, everything's approved in the U.S. There's no problem. It's just that Corteva's keeping that off the market on a big scale because they don't want to have any trade issues, kind of like we saw with the last Syngenta deal that went through and the corn and all that. We just don't want to have those kind of issues. You don't want them, I don't want them, and definitely the company doesn't want them. So anyway, hopefully we'll get things worked out with China, because with Enlist, that would be really nice. So we have 2,4-D as a weed killer in addition to Roundup and Liberty all in the same bean. And by the way, if you haven't seen that new 2,4-D, this is another thing that we just continue to be impressed by. That new 2,4-D, it's called Freelix. If you want to buy it for pastures or around your farmyard or something, it's awesome. We're just not seeing the volatility, not seeing the drift. It's like a whole different product than old 2,4-D. So that has been fantastic. In terms of anything else in 2018, I would just say, you know, fertility continues to be a big deal, and drainage continues to be a big deal. We talk about it all the time here in the show. You're probably sick of hearing it if you listen every day, but drainage is always number one. If you have a drainage issue, everything else is a disaster. And if you have a fertility issue, you know, usually you're not going to maximize your overall production. So we talk an awful lot about banding, especially when you're renting ground. If you're going to broadcast, it takes a long time sometimes to get all those nutrients back into your system and fully utilize all those dollars you've invested. So anyway, we'll talk more 2018 year in review.
Want to turn smart agronomics into smart economics? Go with the all-new Grow Smart Rewards program. 1. Start with a smart agronomic plan. 2. Qualify with the purchase of a participating BASF herbicide. 3. Earn $1+ per acre for each qualifying pair-up brand. Plus, you may qualify for an additional $75 per gallon back on our industry-leading fungicides. For full program details, go to GrowSmartRewards.com. Grow smart with BASF.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic is proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike incentive programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. You decide what's best for your operation, from pre-plant to harvest. Your retailer and FMC take care of the rest. It's really that simple. The exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing of the FMC Freedom Pass program make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. That's what we mean when we say we give you more freedom in the field. You'll experience more control and confidence, too. Generics and imitators can't promise that. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here live in the Morton studio. Today on the show, we're doing a little 2018 year in review. If you'd like to call in and talk about anything that happened on your farm this year, or just give us, kind of what you're thinking about as you go into 2019, any changes you're going to make in your farm, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. Or you can send me an email, radio@agphd.com. All right, we're going to get to the phone lines right now. We got Ben calling in from Iowa. Hey, Ben, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Excellent. So, Ben, being with Farmer's Edge, what are probably the top two or three things that stood out to you this year where you said, boy, I'm seeing a lot of farmers that are using this particular practice on their farm, and that seems to be really paying?
Well, first off, it's our daily satellite imagery has been pretty huge in being able to find issues out in the field. And when you're getting daily satellite imagery or really getting an image every two or three days, being able to watch your crop progress, and it's really been a game changer as far as, being able to manage your scouting. And then to take it a step further, our crop health change notifications, where we take that daily satellite imagery and we compare it to an image just a few days beforehand, and we see how they're different. And if it's different enough, we generate a crop health change alert, and that comes straight to your phone. So not only do you see the exact fields in your operations you need to scout, you see the exact areas of the fields you need to scout. So very, very efficient use of your time.
Okay, so what was showing up that turned out like it looks good economically? Fungicide, insecticide, certain herbicides, certain fertility practices, drainage. I mean, what right. was it that showed up on these maps that looked really good?
Well, I mean, this year doing fungicide in the upper Midwest was an absolute home run. I mean, everything we've seen where we put in a check strip, you could see exactly where the fungicide was keeping that plant healthier.
Yes.
And there was even one case where we saw a grower, he was spraying, and then he put his dad in the tractor or the sprayer, and he started spraying. Well, he was spraying a little bit, he was running the sprayer a little bit faster, mm-hmm. and the fungicide performance actually started to go down because dad had a little bit of a lead foot.
Was it that, or was dad just trying to cut rates? So that's one of the things over the years. So I mean, I've worked with farmers my whole life, and even I think about myself and my dad and everybody, on the farm. And very often it's, well, you're supposed to use a quart rate. Could I get by with 30 ounces? Would 28 do it? everybody's interested in saving a nickel. So anyway, yes, I get it. Using the appropriate rate, that really paid. Anything else that stood out to you this year, Ben?
Just having access to on-farm weather stations. You get weather that's collected on your farm. That's always valuable versus what other data you get from the local airport or whatever. Just as much data that you can get that's really specific to your farm. That's just a real, really helps tell the story of your actual farm.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And it's probably always been this way. We just maybe haven't been as aware of this, but we're only spread out on our farm. Probably if I was to draw a 10-mile radius from the center of our farm, that would pretty much catch it. But yet from one end to the other, sometimes, I mean, we'd have one area would have 2 inches of rain and the other have half inch of rain. Well, that's a big deal. And in some cases it was, right. Hey, we only had maybe a tenth of an inch. We actually could go today on a couple of fields. And right away we were thinking, nope, we can't do anything. So yeah, I think that's incredibly important, especially as farmers get a little more spread out than they maybe used to be.
Right. Yeah. And that's pretty huge because you were able to get that information just based on looking at the weather station data versus driving around for half a day trying to figure that out.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, hey, Ben, thanks a lot for calling in today. Again, we've been talking to Ben Johnson with Farmer's Edge. Really appreciate it, and Happy New Year, Ben.
Happy New Year.
All right, let's go next down to the state of Mississippi. We got Jeremy calling in from down there. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Excellent. So what's happening on your farm right now?
Well, right now we're wet. We've kind of been that way for, it seems like, at least the last 6 months. We're looked to call to get another 2 to 3 inches, so I don't see any field work getting done anytime soon for us. This is normally our wet time of year and a slow time of year that we can take some time off and spend time with family and just kind of regroup and get ready, make plans for next year.
When you talk about making plans for next year, what stood out to you in 2018? What were the big lessons you learned on your farm?
Well, as we look at the harvest of 2018, it kind of reminds us of the old story when you're up to your elbows in alligators, you forgot you were trying to drain the swamp. this harvest almost got into a survival mode for us. It rained a lot, and conditions were very poor for all the crops that we've had to harvest. It was a very long harvest, and didn't get any field work done. But one of the things that pointed out to us this year that was very eye-opening to us, two things. One was on our soybean crop. We mixed amthiolone in to get our sulfur when we put our pre-emerge out.
Yep.
And we had a couple times where we were spraying behind the planters and got caught by rain and didn't get finished. And we just kind of put some AMS out with an airplane and sprayed with an airplane. And could see a considerable difference with that. So we're very happy with that. And another thing we used on our rice as a pre-emerge, we always put a little bit of ammonium sulfate and a little bit of DAP out to get the rice crop growing. This year we used a Mosaic product that has some zinc mixed in with it. It's a Micro Essentials SZ, I believe.
Yep.
And had really good standability from it. So, you know, as a lot of things, it was a difficult year, but there were some things that we learned, and I look forward to getting at it again next year.
So the zinc on the rice, is that something then after you've seen that, now you're going to be looking harder at more of the micronutrients in all your crops, or what are your thoughts there?
We've always looked really hard. This was one thing that research has showed that we needed more zinc in there.
Yep.
And we're actually putting out with the DAP and the ammonium, the ammonium nitrate, we're actually ammonium sulfate. We're able just to combine those products and add the zinc to it. And it was, believe it or not, one of those things that we were going to try it. Then we did the math. I was like, well, this is cheaper. We're doing the same thing. So let's just do that.
Yep.
You only get so much out of an airplane. You have to have so much to get out of the airplane at a time. So we're over-applying the other products to get an even spread.
Sure.
And we've always looked at them, and we were very, very pleased with the product. And that encapsulated granular, actually, I think, did a really good job.
Yeah, the other thing would be that just part of that's elemental sulfur, so you get a little bit more of a control release, and especially when you start talking lots and lots of rain, you know, sulfate, can leach out relatively easily. So, yeah, I mean, who knows what it was exactly, but I'm glad to hear you found something that worked well for you. So anything else that stood out to you this year? Anything else that really paid?
Those were the two ones that were our shining stars this year. There's a lot of things that we had tried and a lot of things that we had done. And, you know, some of the, just because you were harvesting in the mud, from a non-agronomic standpoint, we found out our LSW tires do work really well. Unfortunately, in the mud, that low sidewall technology, there's a lot to that. It did 90% of what a track would do. So that was in a year like this year, that was something that I wish we hadn't learned that. But yep. I was very pleased with the results from it.
Yeah, I hear you. We had the wettest year we've ever had here, too. You know, for guys that weren't real big believers in drain tile going into this year, they're definitely huge believers now. And it's the same thing you're talking about, like with your tires and tracks and everything else. Yeah, it can be a really big deal in a wet year. Hey, Jeremy, I really appreciate you calling in today. And we certainly want to wish you a happy new year and hope things turn out great on your farm going into 2019.
Same to you. You have a good day.
You bet. You too. Yeah, it's always interesting, the calls that we get here all over the United States and across Canada. Everybody's dealing with different situations, but I just am a little bit surprised at this year how many calls we've had from all over talking about too wet, too wet, too wet. There are lessons to be learned from that, things we need to undoubtedly fix going into next year to make things better, just in case we have another wet year. We'll talk more about that and more 2018 Year in Review right after this.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
No two seasons are the same, so you need your crops to rise ready for whatever's in store. Now, there's one simple decision that provides coverage on four fronts. The Acceleron portfolio offers protection against disease, insects, nematodes, and even moisture or nutrient stress. In the fight against the unpredictable, rise stronger with Acceleron seed treatment products. Learn more at AcceleronSAS.com/rise-ready. Performance may vary. It's important to use proper PPE when handling treated seed.
In farming, there's a lot of variables out of our control. Don't let fertility be one of them. Let the experts at AgroLiquid move you closer to your bullseye. It's true. AgroLiquid fertilizers are formulated to keep nutrients available to your crop, and they have unmatched compatibility with other nutrients and crop protection products, which makes application more efficient than ever. But we also have the best people in the field, ready to talk about your operation, your goals. Go to AgroLiquid.com to move you closer to your target.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
In order to be the best farmer you can be, you've got to have a grain marketing plan. But what do you do when you're too busy out in the fields trying to maximize yield? Hi, I'm Darren Hefty. My brother Brian and I are always busy learning more about how to make our farm more successful. That's why we use Grain PhD to learn more about grain marketing and to work with our Grain PhD risk expert to create a complete grain marketing strategy. Visit grainphd.com to learn more about a free consultation for your operation.
In 1949, Morton Buildings constructed our first machine storage building to establish our bond with the farming community. Since then, our relationship has grown, and so have our product offerings. From the smallest specialized operation to the largest agricultural enterprise, we understand the needs of your business and continue to evolve to meet industry demands. Plus, when you build a Morton building, you're backed by the strongest warranty in the business. To learn more about the Morton Advantage, visit us online at mortonbuildings.com.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio, live in the Morton studio, doing a little 2018 year in review. If you want to call in, our number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's what Dale did from down in Florida. Hey, Dale, how are things going today?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. So I hear soybean fungicides extended the basically greenness of your soybeans and really delayed harvest. Is that correct?
Yes, I just wondered. I mean, I've never seen that before. And I mean, we were probably 45, 60 days after, you know, the period of when we should have been able to start. And I mean, we had leaves, we had green stem, we had green beans. We basically had to wait through time and almost for a frost to be able to harvest beans. And it's been wet here. I mean, you know,
yeah,
like everybody else, it's been wet.
Yep. So we have seen that a lot, and it's especially with the strobe products, the strobilurin products, things like Headline, Quadris, Avito. It's that chemistry. They talk about the plant health benefits. Well, one of the plant health benefits is it is going to stay a little bit greener longer. Now, supposedly, that typically will lead to the plant feeding itself better and usually higher yields. So, you know, generally speaking, in the Midwest, guys will talk about 3 days, 7 days longer, something like that. Certainly not 45 or 60 days. Now, of course, up here, if we had 45 days longer, the frost would have killed it way before it got to 45 days. But anyway, how were your yields then with these beans that were so green?
The yields were okay. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, I'm in Northwest Florida. We get 55 inches of rain a year. We're pushing 90 right now.
Wow.
So it's been a horrible, horrible year. But yields were in the mid-50s, which is on the lower end of normal.
Sure.
You know, I was pleasantly happy with that number.
Yep.
With what we have had to go through, let's put it that way.
Yeah. So knowing what happened to you, what I would probably recommend going forward, because, you know, especially when you're in a wet and humid climate, the odds are pretty high that fungicide is likely going to pay most years. But it's just that strobe product. So I'm going to assume you had one of those modes of action in there, Strobilian mode of action.
Yeah, it was headline.
Yeah, yep. So what I would do is I would go back to a Trizol, possibly even an SDHI, but most likely I would take a look at one of the Trizol products. I mean, there are plenty of them out there, whether it's Proline, Tilt, Top Guard is probably one of the best ones too. I mean, there are many different Trizol products. Those typically don't give you that greenness, yet they'll still give you pretty good disease control. So what diseases were you after when you sprayed?
I really don't have any down here that much. Just is more preventive so that
sure.
I don't have to worry about it. You know, just haven't seen it, but you know, it's just one of those things, you know, it doesn't cost that much to put it on.
Right.
And, you know, you get a little bit more yield out of it and, you know, you just possibly eliminate any concern. So I just do it every year. It's just automatic. I just don't want to have to, you know, to go through it.
But normally it's not extending your window like that.
No, not never had this before.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, normally don't even notice the change.
Huh.
You know, you notice, you know, you see a little bit of greenness out there, a little bit longer, but you know, it comes time to harvest. It's time to harvest. You know, but
yeah, no, I've never heard anything 45 to 60 days. Like I say, just a few days, yes, but 45 to 60 days, certainly not that. And you know, if nothing else, when you say, well, I've been using this product, I've liked it, it's worked. Okay, maybe continue to do some of that, but I definitely switch over and at least take some of my acres or at least some side-by-sides and use some, you know, one or two different Trizol products and compare the two. I'm going to guess you're going to be happier with that Trizol product. It's not going to extend the greenness. Now, you might not gain that plant health type yield, but you're certainly still going to be able to get disease control.
All right.
So that's what I do.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for the call, Dale. Appreciate it. All right, let's go next down to Virginia. We got our good friend Dave Hula on with us. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, well, you got me out of a duck blind right now, so life is good, Ryan.
All right, well, we'll try to get you back out there as quickly as possible. How did things turn out on your – oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, back to Dale.
Yeah.
They put me on. I could hear that.
Yes.
One good thing he could probably look at – particularly if his season is stretching on like that,
yep.
Go in and defoliate his beans.
Sure.
You know, spray some Gramoxone out there to finish it up. Because, you know, he's very similar to me. We do like the strobes because of plant health.
Yes.
But once the bean is done, you know, let's just finish it. Let's mature it. Get it done.
Yeah, that's a
so,
good... That's
I know it's another,
yeah,
another
that's
spray,
a,
but, you know... We,
yeah, it's a good point. My issue a lot of times with that, as we get into the Midwest, and certainly I don't farm down by you or in Florida, so I don't know how it works with you guys, but I know up here it's very rare when that bean is still green and it's not totally finished. So what I'm getting at here is if I go out and spray Gramoxone and I'm trying to get harvest done earlier, I end up hurting yield in a lot of cases. That's my concern. So, yeah, I'm with you totally. If we're sure that bean is done, then just hit it with the Gramoxone. That's going to make the harvest way easier and you can get that done.
Yeah. All right, so you asked me how 2018 was.
Yes, 2018.
Well, you know, small grain was fair. We were wet all year, just like Dale was talking about. We're feet above normal as well in rainfall. So small grain was fair. Soybeans and corn, we both built our farm average in a five-year rolling average. We increased it this year. No super high yields, you know, because of the wetness.
Yeah.
Cloudy days, so you didn't, you know, I tipped my hat off to the guy up in Michigan where he's had that 400 plus bushel yield, and you know, the guy Kevin Cobb, you know, they did had great success, but you just didn't see it in the Southeast on the real high yields because of the lack of sunshine. And but the rainy days helped our dry land corn. You know, we averaged a tick over 200 bushel farm average, and we just finished soybeans last Friday, so I don't have all the numbers in, but we did, you know, we had a good crop soybean wise. So we feel pretty blessed. all in all.
All right. So in this really wet year, was there any practice that you normally do that this year, let's say, maybe didn't work so well?
You know, air on a regular production ground in corn, we needed to side dress it one more time. If we side dressed it two times or even three with the wide drops, you know, we picked up extra bushels. And where we just did on some ground acres that are too far from the home farm, you know, we're only shooting for 150, 170 bushels.
Sure.
And side dressed it once, you know, we played out. It just ran out of juice. Now, if we'd add a nitrogen stabilizer, would it have helped? You know, I'm not sure on that, but I do know a little bit more fertilizer would have, you know, put the yield up a little bit. And in reference to soybeans, a lot of folks that planted early beans over here struggle. When I say early, April, early May planted beans and short season, threes mm-hmm. or fours.
Yep. You know,
it's funny for me saying that, short season for y'all. That's like, oh, my gosh, no
yep,
way.
That'd be long. Yep. So anyway,
but,
that,
yeah, they ran into,
you're saying that didn't
they
work
ran
too
into
well?
Some disease. Yeah, they ran into some disease problems because they got caught by some of those September rains when the beans were mature. So a lot of moldy beans. We noticed where we had good plant health from fungicides and nutritional balance, we didn't run into that problem.
Yeah.
Also, holding, you know, we're in the seed business, so holding the planting date to the middle of May, and we missed those September rains to where they were catching their beans that were mature, you know, R5 or later.
So going forward, though, it seems like there are more guys that want to plant earlier. Do you think that's a bad idea normally, or do you just think a guy should kind of spread his risk and plant over a wide mature or a wide range of dates?
You know, we're just like y'all recommending risk management as a tool.
Yep.
So if you're going to plant early, we recommend plant some fuller season beans real early. Then when you get into that mid to later May, that's when you can start planting your shorter season beans, and you'll still get to harvest them pretty early.
Yep.
So, but you're keeping the planters going.
Yeah, no, I'm
long seasons early.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. So we like to start early and keep going for a while. Well, hey, Dave, thanks a lot. Wish you a happy new year.
All right.
Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah.
For over a year, I've been butchering the scripts for the Farmer's Edge ads on my podcast. But hey, it's not my fault. Honestly, they offer too much stuff. On-farm weather stations, that little plastic data transfer thingy they shove in your tractor's port, daily satellite imagery, their integrated farm management software, soil sampling, variable rate technology, it goes on and on and on. And they expect me to do that in one ad. That's why I just say Farmer's Edge. It's a company developed by an agronomist to help make you a better farmer.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm the fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, being able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at soilwarrior.com.
It's tough to keep your stored soybeans in perfect condition. To maintain beans at 13% moisture, you need to run your bin fans when outside air humidity is at 70%. For 12% moisture, you need to run at 65%. For 11, 60. How can you possibly get the timing right yourself if you don't know the humidity at your bin site and aren't there to switch on your fans? The Steps GMS Temperature Humidity Switch is your low-cost solution. For more information, visit us at stepsgms.com.
White mold, sudden death syndrome, root rot. If you raise soybeans, it may seem like you have all the cards stacked against you when it comes to disease. But did you know there is a new cost-effective seed treatment which can help prevent all three? Heads Up Seed Treatment offers a new proactive approach for dealing with fungal and bacterial diseases. Compatible with other seed treatments, hedge your bet against disease this spring. Ask your dealer for Heads Up today. To locate a dealer, visit headsupst.com.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
Ideal for herbicide applications, the Ultra Low Drifts Large Air Inducted Droplets were designed to eliminate driftable fines without sacrificing coverage. Its thick three-dimensional pattern creates multiple angles for the spray to cover the target. Hypro, helping you spray better.
Interested in strip tillage? You should know about the Soil Warrior from ETS. With one pass efficiency, optimized nutrient placement, and reduced production costs for higher profitability, the Soil Warrior brings the future to your farm. Visit soilwarrior.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. We are live in the Morton studio today. If you'd like to call into the show, 844-44-AG-PHD. Going to jump right back to the phone lines. Got Jesse calling in from Alabama. Jesse, how are things down in Alabama today?
Well, as we've had some pretty unusual rainfall the past couple of weeks. We had about a 3-inch monsoon came the other day, but other than that, it's normal Christmas weather. You never know, you're in short sleeves or coveralls. We never know what kind of weather we're getting in Alabama.
Well, Jesse, just be happy that 3 inches didn't come in the form of snow like we got up here. The wind's blowing about 30 miles an hour right now. It's snowing, and it's complete whiteout conditions. So,
you're definitely tougher than I am.
Well, I don't know how tough I am. I'm sitting inside. It's nice and warm in here. So, anyway, I don't plan on doing a whole lot of stuff outside today or tonight. But, I think it's going to curtail any of the New Year's Eve plans that a lot of people had around here. But, you know, that's the way it goes. So,
that's right.
So, we're talking about 2018, year in review just a little bit today. Anything that really kind of stands out to you on your farm in 2018 where you say, boy, this really worked well, or this practice over here didn't work well?
Well, each year is different. It has its own ups and downs, like I was telling the gentleman before I spoke with you, you know, and I think this year was no exception to that. We started off really wet and thought we were behind, and actually the crop caught up. The cotton especially, the cotton and corn was the two of the crops that I had most concerns about, but we actually caught up and was able to get the crop out in a timely fashion. I think some of our starter fertilizer programs that we started with has really helped us, and we really got with a good rotation aspect on the farm. You know, we try to think agronomically as much as we do economically, and I think that has really helped us, you know, on our bottom line and secure good yields. And this year was, like I said, started out really wet, but we ended up with a pretty decent corn crop. And I was really worried about the cotton crop. By the time we got, we're still, the ginning is still going on right now where they separate the seed from the lint. But other than that, you know, we had a pretty good year across the board.
Tell me a little bit more about your starter. Are you putting that in furrow? Is it 2x2? What are you doing there?
We're doing in furrow on the corn.
Yep.
And a 2x2 with a cotton.
Oh, okay.
And those two just kind of really help put the placement of the little extras in, you know, real close to the roots. And I think that's what helped us with a real cold, wet starting situation we had, you know, the climate surrounding the seed. I think that was just a little extra kick in the rear end to make the seed kind of like the teenager, you know, you kind of got to get a hold to them before they become teenagers to let the children know right from wrong. And I really think the starter helped the crops do that same thing. It really let them know, you know, you're in the ground to grow and it's time to go up instead of keep messing around down here. We're very fortunate to get a good start.
Yeah, for your starter, are you using an NPK blend? Are you using any micronutrients? What are you doing for fertility?
I'm using a little all of it. We've got some from a local seed dealer. And then I've used some of the stuff, you know, being some of the yield contests the past few years, you've always got a few people wanting you to try some of their things, and I've tried some of those, and I've got a lot of information you kind of got to go through and see what really worked the best for the specific farm and whatnot. But I just think as a whole, using those in general was my greatest increase in yield versus not using them. Now, as far as actually which one, I still got to comb through all of them to find out which one did the greatest.
Sure. So anything that you're looking at changing going into 2019 on your farm?
Well, you know, you always have to change, but boy, those things come with a cost. You know, not really. I think we're going to kind of stay with our rotation. Might increase a little bit of cotton, decrease a little bit of corn, just due to bin capacities and whatnot. But other than that, we're just going to hope for the best and pray for the rest, I suppose.
Yep, sounds good. All right. Well, hey, Jesse, thanks for calling in today. Want to wish you a happy new year. Hope things turn out great for you in 2019.
You do the same. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you. All right, next up, we got Wes calling in from up in Manitoba. Hey, Wes, how are things going today?
Oh, just fine, thanks. Yeah, and you guys?
Well, doing pretty well, other than I don't really like all the snow blowing around, but, you know, that's just part of winter, I guess.
Oh, that's right. You know, some areas were looking for some moisture. I don't know if they want it in this way, but I guess we've got it.
Yep, nothing much we can do about that. So Wes, tell us a little about 2018 on your farm. Were there any practices that you used this year that turned out really well, or maybe a couple of things you did where you say, boy, I'm not doing that again?
Well, I think we continue on with our, you know, variable rate fertilizer, and that seems to be working quite well.
Yep.
For us, evening out the fields a lot. And mm-hmm. I think you guys had a lot more moisture than we did. We were quite a bit on the dry side this year, but despite that, the crops seemed to survive quite well.
Good. You know, one thing you mentioned there was evening out the fields with the variable rate fertilizer. You know, I when we first started doing grid and zone sampling, I didn't realize how much variance there was in some of these fields, but it was a lot. Is that what you saw in your fields too? Was a lot of variance from high to low?
Yes, lot of variance. So we have a bit of, you know, or quite a bit of rolly land, and certainly a lot more prone to variance than maybe flatter fields are. But yes, quite a lot of variance, and that's what seems to be making a big difference.
So are you doing any micronutrients variable rate, or is it just NPK?
Just NPK and sulfur. So that's all we're doing so far.
Sure.
That's going to be one of the projects for this next year that we're going to be working on, is trying to address the micronutrient situation somewhat and see how that goes.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask you, is what you're thinking going into 2019. Okay, so if you're going to do something with micronutrients, where are you starting with that? Have you made any decisions on what you're going to do yet?
Well, not really. We're still going over our soil test results. We did, we just sample on 5-acre grids. We haven't gone any smaller than that, but
yep.
We're looking at that and, trying to see what is more readily available in our area for the micronutrients and mm-hmm. the way I want to put it on. And so we haven't made a decision yet.
In terms of your soil sampling program, how often are you sampling those 5-acre grids?
We're some of the fields, depending on the crops, we're doing them every year, but generally every third year.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you talk about these fields that you are doing every year, why are you doing that exactly?
Well, I guess some of my crops, like canola, I've got a kind of a recipe that's been working very well and for me through the years, and I've been, whether right or not, I've been hesitant to monkey with it. So if we're going to be putting canola on a field the next year, I don't necessarily soil test it. But if we're going into soybeans or wheat, I probably will do that field. You know, if I'm doing wheat and going into soybeans, I will soil test it again right away the next year just to try and keep up with it.
Sure.
That's
yep.
kind of why, how I've been doing it.
Any change you're thinking of going into this next year in terms of crop rotation?
No, we pretty much, we're, you know, wheat, canola, and soybeans, and we're kind of one-third, one-third, one-third kind of thing, and we're not changing our acres much. We're pretty much sticking with that.
You bet. How about in terms of weed control? How's the weed control been? Pretty good because you've got so many different crops you're raising, or have you been having issues?
No, very few issues with that. Our weed control seems to have been quite good. We don't have much of a problem in our area yet with any resistance, Roundup resistance. There is some, but because we're rotating crops a little more and probably using a little more different products, we don't run into resistance quite as soon.
Right.
And probably, hopefully, we can learn from the areas that have had that issue that we don't yep. just stay with one product.
Yep, learn from all of us who've been making the mistakes. I always tell guys, you know, I don't mind making mistakes on our farm because then we'll talk about them. So hopefully other people don't run into the same issues that we have. And that weed resistance, yeah, it's certainly been growing here in the U.S. Hey, Wes, thanks a lot for calling in today. Really appreciate it. Be safe out there and have a happy new year.
Yes, thank you, and happy new year to you as well.
You bet, thanks. All right, we got just a little bit of time left here on Ag PhD Radio today. If you'd like to call in, 844-44-AG-PHD or email me, radio@agphd.com. Stay tuned.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic is proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
High-yield corn growers know that feeding the crop and soil are keys to maximizing yield potential. Nutec's EDA and Reverb are specifically formulated to help manage limiting factors associated with today's farming conditions. Nutec's EDA works within the plant to support nutrient mobility and utilization. Reverb focuses on the soil, providing beneficial trace elements which help condition the root zone for optimal microbial activity. Low use rates and superb tank mix compatibility make Nutec's EDA and Reverb no-brainers in the high-yield grower toolbox.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
For over a year, I've been butchering the scripts for the Farmer's Edge ads on my podcast. But hey, it's not my fault. Honestly, they offer too much stuff. On-farm weather stations, that little plastic data transfer thingy they shove in your tractor's port, daily satellite imagery, their integrated farm management software, soil sampling, variable rate technology, it goes on and on and on. And they expect me to do that in one ad. That's why I just say Farmer's Edge. It's a company developed by an agronomist to help make you a better farmer.
No secrets here. We all know, regardless of the markets, balanced crop nutrition pays. Agro Liquid Fertilizers have the research, technology, and products you need to grow a great crop. We also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Agro Liquid can help you maximize your yield potential effectively and economically. Visit agroliquid.com to find a dealer near you.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, mare's tail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. We're going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag in just a minute. Before we do, I wanted to mention that coming up here on Thursday, we have our first ever Ag PhD Collegiate Agronomy Workshop. It is free. It's at the Morton Center, right on our Ag PhD Field Day site near Baltic, South Dakota. We are out in the country. You can go to agphd.com to learn more about this event. It's going to be 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And during the day, we are going to give away 20 college scholarships during the day. So please have your college students that you know in your area attend. It's going to be great agronomy information they're going to get. We're going to go through things like how to read a soil test, weed, insect, and disease control in corn and soybeans, variety selection, seed treatments, water quality, pesticide safety, tiling basics, just a lot of great stuff during the day. It'll be fun and very educational. And again, we're going to give away 20 college scholarships that day. Now, I will say, too, if you are in high school, if you are out of college, if you are whatever, 50 years old, doesn't matter. You can attend this workshop. It's still going to be a lot of great information for you as well. It'll be fun. And it also, you know, I would encourage you, let's say you have a student that's in college, attend with them. So that way they can be talking to you about the things that they're learning. That's a great way for father and son, maybe grandpa and grandson or grandmother and granddaughter, whatever it is, to interact with each other. And now you have great ag stuff to talk about. I know that's one of the things occasionally I will talk to some farmers who are my age and older, and they'll say, boy, I don't have as much to talk to my kids about. Well, this would be great. If you spend that day with them, they're going to get a lot out of it, and I'm sure you will as well. Again, that's the Ag PhD Collegiate Agronomy Workshop coming up this Thursday. So it's already January 3rd. We're doing that date because very few colleges are back in session. So anyway, go to agphd.com to learn more about that. All right, it's time now for the Ag PhD Mailbag.
Bag.
Okay, first question comes from Curtis in Missouri. He says, hey guys, thanks for the show. I would enjoy hearing your recommendations on some recent soil tests on our farm. Attached is a copy of the test. Hopefully you can help me excite the older generations on the farm. And he says here, as a young farmer, I would also be very interested in your insights and suggestions on growing the farm. If you were to start over, how would you work to find rented ground, financing, etc.? Thanks again for the great shows and the podcast. Okay, so Curtis, when I take a look at your soil tests here, we always look at pH first. And the good news here is a lot of your soil pHs are right in that ideal range, 6.3 to maybe 6.8. You only had a couple of outliers on the low side and on the high side, so you don't have a lot to work on there in the pH side. The problem, though, is most everything else I look at on the soil test, you're low. Phosphorus, I would say you're ridiculously low. Sulfur, you're ridiculously low. Potassium, you're just low. You know, a lot of 1.6 to 2 base saturation K levels. I mean, you need to double those. Over time, we'd like to get those up at least to 4% on the base saturation K. Zinc is very low. Manganese is pretty low. Copper's low. Boron's very low. So you got a lot of stuff here that unfortunately is going to need some work. Whether you use manure, compost, commercial fertilizer, whatever you do, you just flat out need more nutrients. So that's the number one thing that I would tell you. Now, when you ask the question about if we were to start over, how would we work to find rented ground, financing, etc.? Let me first say that at least in my area, and I don't know how it is in your area, but in my area right now, it's really tough on rented acres if you're going to pay cash rent. What guys are paying for cash rent, there's almost zero left, almost zero. So in other words, it's not a winning proposition, especially for a young farmer. Now, if you were to do it on shares, then at least you know you're going to be a little bit more protected in the bad year. And sure, it's going to cost you a little more in the good year, but at least you've got your risk covered a little bit better. So that's one of the things. And typically what we would tell people who are just starting out is, you know what, there are most likely farmers in your area who need some work done. And maybe that's one of the things where you can approach them and say, hey, would you be interested in having me do your spraying or doing your soil testing or doing your tiling, any of those kind of things? And quite often then you start building a relationship with them. They start to trust you and know that you do a good job in terms of your farming operation. And the more that you do that, the better chance you will have to rent their ground. Because most people want somebody that they can trust renting their ground, especially if it could potentially be share rent. So that's probably the number one thing I would say. On the financing side, you know, the big thing is just trying to keep your debt as low as possible. Now, that's a challenge just in today's farm economy, but, you know, most likely what you're going to have to do is use rented, or I shouldn't even say rented, I should say use used equipment for a long time, be a good mechanic or know somebody who can fix your equipment at a low price so you can continue to operate, because, yeah, it's a real challenge. All right, next question here comes from Tim. And he's got a long email, but I'm just going to kind of summarize. He says he's located in New Jersey, farms about 1,200 acres of low organic matter soil, like 2% or less. He currently does pivot irrigation on about 400 acres, and they're doing grid sampling and variable rate fertilizer. They do tissue samples biweekly and do apply layer manure on all the corn ground. He says he's a first-generation farmer, and he's been really serious about improving yields for about 5 years. But what he's talking about here is it's challenging for him to find people who know the answers to some of his questions. Like, for example, what ties certain nutrients up? And we talk about that all the time here on the show, too, that we're looking for a balanced fertility program, balanced nutrients in the soil, so you can reduce the tie-up and hopefully get more bang out of every buck that you invest. But anyway, he says here, I'd like to attend the session you're going to have on February 15th, which your fertilizer dealer won't tell you. Actually, I think that's January 15th. I should look on our schedule here. Let me pull up our Ag PhD workshops for you real quick. Yeah, it's January 15th, what your fertilizer dealer won't tell you, and January 14th, advanced pest management. Anyway, he's just asking about, okay, let's say I come to one of these back-to-back sessions. They're at our field day site at the Morton Center near Baltic, South Dakota. So like January 14th is advanced pest management. January 15th is what your fertilizer dealer won't tell you. We've got back-to-back sessions at Baltic, again, coming up February 18th and 19th. The 18th is going to be 101 ways to cut farm expenses today, and the 19th is going to be secrets of high-yield fields. But anyway, he's asking, is there anything that I can do to kind of fill that time in between those sessions? It's a pretty long ways to travel from New Jersey, coming all the way out to South Dakota, and I want to make the most out of it. I might even bring another farmer or two. Well, Tim, let me just say, we will have experienced agronomists there to help answer your questions as well. And we're probably going to have something going on in each of those evenings. I haven't decided exactly what that is. But, you know, we do have a lot of people that travel quite a long ways, especially to attend some of these back-to-back sessions we do. And by the way, these are all free too. We put these on for free just to say thanks to all our viewers and listeners out there. And also because it helps Darren and me get a lot more questions from farmers firsthand so we can do a better job with our television and radio shows. But anyway, we will have plenty of people there to answer questions. We could most likely spend a little bit of time with you as well. So it would absolutely be worth your time. You know, I'll say too, a lot of people ask us with our workshops, will you put these online? No, we don't, because over time we figure we cover a fair amount of the stuff that we're going to talk about at workshops. There are a few things we don't, but most of the stuff, over the course of a year, we'll end up talking about those things in pieces on TV and radio. And for our workshops, it's just not, let's say, broadcast quality. We don't have special lighting and sound and all that. I mean, it's going to be great for a workshop environment. But, you know, the big thing is getting away from your farm for a day or two and really focusing on this. Because if you try to watch something online at home, how often does it happen that you get interrupted? You get phone calls, you get other questions, somebody's coming in, you got to run out and fix something, whatever. So it's hard to focus on that. And we've found over the years that when people take a day to attend one of our workshops, it really gets them thinking more about their farming operation. Not that we're the smartest guys in the world or anything, but if nothing else, we get your brain working, and it's the middle of the winter, and we get you thinking about, hey, what else can I do to improve yield? And then also, you're going to find we've got a lot of super experienced, awesome agronomists there who can help answer questions, and also a lot of other great farmers, too. So when you get the chance to interact with others talking about all these things about, hey, I tried this last year, didn't work so well, what else can I do? It's awesome. So I just really encourage you, whether you attend, you know, any of the workshops that I mentioned, or you can check out agphd.com. We've got a number of workshops coming up around the country. Love to have you at those events. Just come and spend a day with us. We'd really appreciate it. All right, well, before we go, just want to say thanks to our production staff today. Alex did a great job. Thanks to all our guests and everyone who called and wrote in with questions. Really appreciate that. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. And now, stay tuned for Shark Farmer Radio.